we're basically going to just hang out in verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. We'll deviate a little bit. We'll jump down to 6 and 15 and 16, but we're going to just stay right there in verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. And I want to give you a little bit of background on the book of Romans so you kind of get an understanding what this book is about, who it's written to, and why it was written. Paul is a missionary. Paul's a church planter in the early church. And Paul has this desire to go to Rome. He hasn't been to Rome. He didn't plant the church in Rome. But there is a church in Rome, and Paul wants to go there, and he wants to preach, and he wants to hang out, and he wants to be with the Roman Christians. At this time, Nero is the Caesar, and Nero has a problem with Jews. And if you understand anything about the early church wasn't divided. It wasn't like there was Christians. The early church were all Jewish. I mean, Peter and Paul was Jewish. All of these guys that started the churches, they were all a bunch of Jews. Jesus, you know, himself, Jew, right? And so as they started these churches, the churches looked and sounded and felt a lot like a Jewish worship service. But these people were believing in Jesus Christ. So now Christ is being added in to these Jewish traditions. And sometimes it was a little bit awkward, especially whenever they started seeing what we call Gentiles or non-Jews. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul's going to call them Greeks sometimes, right? So you've got these people that are non-Jew backgrounds, and they're coming into the church. You've got the Jewish background people, and they're in the church. As we're getting into the book of Romans, what happened was Nero gets mad at the Jews. He kicks them all out of Rome, and they're out of Rome for a while. So the Roman church had been Jew and Gentile or Greek, but then all the Jews left. So now the Gentiles have kind of taken over with their own styles of worship, their own ways of loving Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Nero allows the Jews back in. When they come back in, they want to come back in with their traditions. And so now we've got this conflict within the church. I don't know if you've ever been in a church before that had conflict. I've been in a few. It's not fun. But whenever there's conflict in the church, there's two different sides. There's two different factions. And that's basically what you've got here. You've got a bunch of people that love Jesus. They just go about it a different way, and they all think they're right, right? And they probably all are all right in some instance. And so Paul wants to be a part of this church. He wants to hang out with these people, and he starts by writing them a letter. And in typical Paul fashion, he introduces himself. And that's where we're going to get into the message today, is in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. I want to show you a couple of things there where Paul kind of just contradicts that church, and Paul kind of kicks that church right in the tail just a little bit, even in his introduction. See, Paul was a Jew by birth, but he was a Roman citizen. And you're going to notice something. Paul never says, Paul, a Jew. He never says, Paul, a former Pharisee. He never says, Paul, born of the tribe of whomever. He doesn't identify with the Jews. He also doesn't identify with his Roman citizenship. Instead, Paul has a different way of identifying himself. And we live in a culture and a society today, and everybody in your seats, people were asking me before service, they said, do I need to put my name on this name tag and put it on? How many people put their name on the name tag? Nobody did. Okay, good. I was just wondering. I was curious. There's a few of you that were asking for pins, so I didn't know if it was going to happen. But one of the things is that name is an identifier, right? You put your name on that tag, you slap it on your chest, and now everybody knows exactly who you are. And in our culture, in our society, we're always trying to identify with something. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, we identify with all kinds of stuff. It's football season right now, and so everybody's identifying with their favorite team. And you identify yourself with your favorite team by what you yell at somebody else when you're walking down the street. Everywhere we go, my wife and I are walking along, and if she sees somebody wearing an Auburn shirt or Auburn hat, she yells War Eagle at them, and they yell War Eagle back. And then she sees somebody with an LSU shirt on, and she's like, Gabriel, yell at them. Yell, go Tigers. And I'm like, I don't want to. I don't know that person, and I'm trying to do something, so leave me alone. You know, like, but she wants to just everybody to identify with something, right? And we've got this problem sometimes as we begin to identify with a lot of things, and sometimes the things are good. Sometimes we identify with our job or with our family, or we identify with the relationship that we have, identify with a spouse or with our kids. And sometimes we have these identities that are really good, and they're positive identities. But the problem is sometimes those identities can get pulled out from underneath us, and then we don't have anything to stand on. Have you ever noticed that where you had an identity? Maybe you had an identity in a job, and then you lost the job, and you started saying, I don't know what to do with myself without this job. I had an uncle one time, a great uncle one time, and he was a hard worker, and he had worked for the same company his whole life, and he finally, well, maybe not his whole life, I'm sure he wasn't born into the company, but he had worked for this company, and one day he retires, and when he retired, it was like he had lost his identity, and he didn't know what to do with himself without going to work, because his identity had been tied up in going to work. Every day I get up, I have a routine, I go to work, and they said he started cutting his grass, and he would cut his grass every day. And then it got to where he was cutting his grass two or three times a day. And eventually he wasn't cutting grass anymore. He was cutting dirt because he had just burned the whole thing up. And finally his son, who was a lawyer, got him a job as a bailiff. And my uncle, while he was cutting all the grass, his health began to decline. And whenever he got a job as a bailiff in the court system, all of a sudden his health picked right back up. What happened? He had this identity that was tied to work. It's not a bad thing, but whenever your identity is tied to something that can be pulled away. Sometimes our identity is tied to our spouse or to our kids. We see a lot of problems in marriages whenever kids move out of the house and then you go into that empty nest syndrome. The problem is maybe mom or dad's identity was tied up in that child. And as that child moves out, now all of a sudden they don't know who they are without their kids in the house. And so we see these good things, and sometimes these identities can hurt us. And then sometimes our identities can be tied to bad things. Sometimes our identities are tied to things we've done in the past, maybe to sins or to trauma that we've had in our past, and we're hung up on that. We can't move past it, and it changes everything that we do, and it formulates the way we think and the way we act because our identity is tied up in what I've done, and we can't seem to move forward, and it hurts the way we work, or that hurts our relationships because our identity is tied up in some of the stuff from our past or our mistakes, maybe our addictions, or maybe labels somebody put on you. I heard the story one time of a young man, and he had been told his whole life he was stupid. He had been told he was dumb. He had been told he was not smart enough. And so he was constantly behind in all of his schoolwork. He was constantly failing in all of his classwork until finally one day somebody got a hold of him and they began to tell him about who he was. And they began to shed that label off of him. And they told him that he was loved and he was accepted. And they began to love on this kid. And they told him he was smart. He would be as smart as he wanted to be, as much as he wanted to study. And all of a sudden it turned his life around. And he went on to start like a very big business. He wasn't stupid. He had just been labeled that way and began to find his identity in his label. And there's some of us in the room today. We've been labeled certain things. Maybe we labeled ourselves or someone else labeled us, and we've got that name tag. And as soon as we pick it up, instead of writing Gabriel on it or writing Mike on it, we begin to write, you know, addicted on it, or we begin to write dumb on it, or we begin to write failure on it. We write all these labels and we stick them on ourselves, and that causes a change in how we act and who we are. And so what I want to do today is I don't want to get far past Paul's identity, because I feel like today something that we all need is a good, solid identity. In a world right now where identities are changing and are very fluid, we need to be the kind of people that have a solid identity, something that's grounded, founded, and rooted, and something that's not going to be pulled out from underneath us. And so if we look at Paul, Paul gives us right there in the very beginning three aspects of his identity. The first thing Paul says in Romans 1 is he says, a servant of Christ Jesus. The word servant there is a pretty cool word. It's a word doulos in the Greek. And all it means is it's different from being a slave. Instead, doulos means it's by choice. In other words, I've put myself as a servant by choice, because I am totally devoted to whoever it is that I'm serving. So Paul starts off not by talking about how great of a person he was. He doesn't start off by talking about his position or his prestige. He starts off saying, I'm a servant. I'm a less than. I'm below Christ. I am totally devoted to Jesus Christ, first and foremost. The one thing, if you don't know anything else about me, I need you to know that I'm totally devoted to Jesus Christ. And see, we want to give ourselves these other identities, and we want to identify with our job. I'm an owner, I'm a pastor, I'm a whatever, manager. And we like these identities, and those are good, and they make us feel good. But the problem is, even Paul, who had a lot of stuff to brag about, begins his identity at servant. And it wasn't a servant like he didn't have a choice. I love this word, doulos. And the word doulos, it's a place of humility and love and devotion. But I also like the fact that it was commonly used to identify disciples of Christ in the early church. This was a word that was commonly used, that they called themselves servants. They didn't call themselves pastor and bishop and apostle as much as they called themselves servant. Servant of Christ Jesus. The next thing that Paul says in Romans 1:1 is he says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. But if you look at that, oh, can we have the verse back up there? Yes, right there. It doesn't matter. Called to be an apostle. Look at the word apostle there. Notice it doesn't have a big A, it's got a little A. I like that because Paul's not saying here, I am an apostle. He's saying, I'm an apostle, just a regular apostle. And the word apostle means sent one. It doesn't mean pastor of pastors. It doesn't mean one of the 12 head honchos of the church. It doesn't mean the one guy that saw Jesus. That's what capital A apostle means. They had a definition for that. But lowercase apostle, little a apostle, just means somebody that's sent. And I love that Paul first identifies himself as a servant, humble, devoted, and then secondly, he identifies himself as sent. I'm just sent. I'm just willing to go or do whatever the master needs me to do. And how many times, how many times if you're a parent in the room, especially the parent of a teenager, have you told your teenager to go do something, right? You send them to do something, and what do? I will in a minute, right? I forgot. I'm playing a video game. Whatever the case is. Not my kids, of course. Not my kids. But we don't want to be... No, they're not. We don't want to be sent all the time. We don't always want to be told what to do. But whenever you first identify as a servant, now all of a sudden it's very easy to be sent. And I love this identification by Paul. Because Paul, if you read his story, he is constantly on the move. He's constantly going from one place to the next. He's always sent by God. And the idea here is that it's not about the where. It's not about the where he's sent. It's not about the who he's sent to. And see, sometimes we can get caught up with that, especially preachers. We can get caught up in that. We can get caught up in the idea that I was sent to this city. I was sent to this big church. Paul's not saying that at all. He just generally says, I'm sent. I was called to just be sent out. And I like that because what it does is it shows his willingness. It shows his willingness to just obey. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the story of Isaiah. Isaiah is a young prophet, and the Bible says that Isaiah was caught up in a vision, and he sees the Lord. He sees Yahweh sitting there, and he sees angels around the throne, and they're chanting and they're singing. And he hears the Lord say this, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Isaiah said this, here I am, send me. This is the same attitude that Paul had. Paul said, I don't care where I go. I don't care what I do. I don't care where you send me. Just send me. Folks, our identity today, a good thing to tie our identity to is being a servant and being willing to do and go wherever God sends you. And that's a hard thing to do. That's not easy. Especially when you're choking on stage. Let's get to the third part, Romans 1:1. I think that communion got me. It's still here. All right. Romans 1:1, Paul, servant of Christ, called to be an apostle. This is the next one that I really love. It says, set apart for the gospel of God. Set apart. So Paul says, I'm a servant, I'm sent, and I'm set apart. In other words, what does it mean to be set apart? To be set apart biblically means to be different. It means to be holy. It means to have different boundaries around your life, that you're separated. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're cut off from people. It just means that you are separated from the culture of the day. You don't live like everybody else lives. You don't act like everybody else acts. You don't talk like everybody else talks. Paul says, I'm separated, I'm set apart, and it's important for us to see that this is something that's vital to the Christian walk. Christians should be set apart. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you shouldn't look, act, talk, be like everybody else. I'm not saying you got to be Amish, right? My youngest son is in cross country, and we just drove up to this place for a race yesterday. We drive an hour and a half to get there. And as soon as we get there, it starts raining and thundering and lightning. And they said, turn around and go home. I was like, oh, I'm so mad. And so I had to get in my car and go right back home. Another hour and a half. So one of the things that while we were there, we were driving through this Amish area. And there's like Amish restaurants and Amish shops and all these different areas where they're, and maybe it's not Amish, maybe it's Midianite, I don't know, same difference. But you know, you've seen them on TV, they dress different. They're dressed different. They live different. They don't act like everybody else. They don't look like everybody else. And I'm not saying we've got to be that, but spiritually we should be that way. Spiritually, we should have something inside of us that's different than everybody else around us, different than the world. How can the world find Christ if everywhere they look, they only see themselves? They need to see Jesus in us. And so we need to be set apart. We need to be servants. We need to be sent, and we need to be set apart. 1 Peter 1:14-15, it says this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, that word holy also means set apart, you also be holy in all your conduct. Peter had it. He understood that we've got to be set apart. And the cool thing about Romans 1:1, right there at the very end where it says set apart, is it begins to show us that Paul wasn't just set apart willy-nilly. He wasn't just trying to be different for no reason. As a matter of fact, he had a foundation for his identity. And we must have a foundation for our identity. We want to say that we're a servant. We want to say we're sent. We want to say we're set apart. Those are all really good. And let me tell you something. You can be a servant of just about anybody or anything. You can be sent for just about anybody or anything. I mean, we've got people all over the place that go on missions, what we would consider a missions trip, but they're not going on a mission trip. They're going out to do medical, or they're going out to build a well. They're going out to do some stuff. And those are good. Those are good things. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is you can be sent for any reason. You can be set apart. There's plenty of people. When I was a kid coming up in high school and in post high school, there was this thing called straight edge, and you had all these straight edge bands. I don't know if anybody knows what that. Okay, I've got no nods, but it's okay. I'm good. I'm not insecure today. I'm called. I'm sent. I'm servant. And so straight edge people, they always, all these bands would come out to these shows, and they would have big X's on their hands, and what they did is they were set apart. They weren't necessarily Christian, but they didn't drink or do drugs, or they set themselves apart. But they weren't set apart for God. And so you can have all of these things, but there's got to be a foundation for your identity. And I love that Paul says, I'm set apart for the gospel of God. His identity is rooted in the gospel. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is not a religion. And the gospel is not a self-improvement plan. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins, rose from the grave, and now offers us forgiveness and a new life for anybody that believes. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And Paul said, my life will be rooted in that message right there. That mission right there. Everything I do, everything I say, every relationship I have, every church I preach in, every letter I write will be rooted and grounded in that. In that. And I want to ask you today, what are you rooted and grounded in? What is your identity rooted and grounded in? Is it rooted and grounded in your activities? Is it rooted and grounded in your hobbies? Is it rooted and grounded in your education or in your job or in your family? What are we rooted and grounded in today? Or are we rooted and grounded in the gospel? And notice that he puts a caveat on there. He says, in the gospel of God, not the gospel of Paul. Not the gospel of prosperity, not the gospel of healing, not the gospel of Gabriel, not the gospel of Gateway, not the gospel of desires or feelings or emotions, but the gospel of God. He finds his foundation in God. And whenever he does that, it shapes his life. I think I put on the notes, it shapes his posture, right? How he carries himself, how he presents himself. So yes, he identifies himself as a servant, and he identifies himself as one that is sent. He identifies himself as set apart, and he finds that rooted and grounded in the gospel of God. But then it begins to change who he is and how he presents himself. And so if you want to skip down to Romans chapter 1, verse 15, we're going to do 15 and 16, and then we'll jump back up to 6. We'll kind of move around a little bit. Romans 1, 15, it says, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. The word eager there means to be ready. Paul was ready. And I like this because if you go back and look through the writings of Paul, he is always ready for something. He's always ready for something. There's an old TV show, I think it was an old Seinfeld TV show, Seinfeld episode, where George is saying, I'm down. Back in the day, you say, are you down? I'm down. Yeah, I'm down. I'm totally down. I'm as down as you can be. Like, he just keeps saying he's down. And that's kind of how Paul lived his life. Paul was like, anything that God begins to say, anything that God wants to do, Paul's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to stay. I'm ready to do whatever I need to do. Paul was always ready. Have you ever seen those kind of people that are just always ready? I've got a tale of two sons in my house. I've got an older son and I've got a younger son. And my older son is never ready. And he and I are kind of alike in that we are satisfied to stay home. Like, if you want to go do something, that's great. But if it's Saturday and football's on, we're very satisfied to grab a blanket and lay on the couch and not move. We're just satisfied with that. That's fine with us. My other son, on the other hand, is always ready to go. He will go to school on Thursday. I have to take him to track practice at 5 a.m. We go to practice at 5 a.m. I have to go back, pick him up, bring him home, take a shower, take him back to school. He goes to school all day, has track practice after school, gets done with track practice, and then he's like, let's go to wrestling practice. And so then we have to go to wrestling practice, and we get done with wrestling practice, and he gets back in the car, and he's like, do you think I can go to Honey and Darlings tonight? Like, can I go to my grandparents and spend the night? I'm like, no, absolutely not. Who's going to take you? What are you talking about? He is always ready to go somewhere. We've got two services today for the first time, and I'm up early, and I'm ready to do this. And as soon as the second service is over, we've got our Connect new members lunch. And so I've got stuff to do today. I might end up in a small group tonight, but who knows? And Colt immediately, he knows all this, and he's like, hey, can I go fishing after church? Can you take me to this place? Can I go play disc golf after I go fishing? And it's like, dude, just here's some Benadryl. Please take this and take a nap. I'm not eager. He's eager. I'm not eager. Paul's always eager. He's always ready. And so the word I want to use is ready, because I like ready. Paul is always ready. When I was a kid, I was in this kind of like Boy Scouts, like Christian Boy Scouts thing. And they had this motto, and the motto was ready. Ready for anything. Ready to work, play, serve, obey, worship, live, etc. And when I was a kid, I was like, why are we saying et cetera? Et cetera is a big word. Like, et cetera means a lot of stuff. And I don't know that I'm ready for et cetera. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to live. I'm ready to play. Always down to play. Et cetera, I don't know. But that was the saying. And this is kind of how Paul is. He's always ready. I was listening to the radio the other day, and this guy says, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I thought, what a great motto for life. I think what we do sometimes as Christians is we just don't stay ready. And all of a sudden, when God starts moving and God wants us to do something and God starts speaking to our hearts, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I gotta go read my Bible. I gotta pray for 10 hours, and I gotta fast for 3 months, and I've gotta push everything off. But if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I love that Paul's posture is a posture of always ready. I can just see Paul, and he's just kind of this guy right here. You ever seen this guy? And it's like, no matter what, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. You know, they're just always moving. And I feel like that's how Paul was. The other thing that Romans 1 says in verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I love the fact that Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. Paul has his identity. He's set. He says, my identity is one of a servant. My identity is one that is sent. My identity is somebody that's set apart. And it's founded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm always ready to preach that gospel. And I'm never ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God for everyone. For everyone. And Paul recognizes the power of God in the gospel that he's put his faith in. And so the question that I have to ask myself sometimes is, do I hide my faith when I'm uncomfortable? No, I'm never ashamed. I'm never going to tell somebody that I don't believe. But are there times when I hide the gospel when I feel a little bit uncomfortable? Are there times when I hide the truth just to spare somebody's feelings? And I like the fact that Paul didn't care. It wasn't that he was mean. He didn't set out to hurt feelings, but he didn't care if the truth of God's word hurt some feelings and ruffled some feathers, because he understood that he was ready and he was unashamed. Just this past week, I went to the doctor, and I had left my computer at home, so I went back to the house. And while I'm at the house, I heard this loud crash, and I go step outside my door, and my neighbor across the street her car is pulled out into the middle of the road, and I can hear someone screaming bloody murder. And I walk around the vehicle, and when I did, there was this fella that had been on a motorcycle, and he had hit my neighbor, and he's laid on the ground. His leg is just destroyed. And he's screaming. My neighbor, I'm helping her get to the yard and find a seat, and I'm sitting there, and this kid's just cussing and just ranting and raving. I mean, he's hurt, obviously. And all of a sudden, these other neighbors that came down from the street, they came down, and they were just, have you ever had some people, sometimes they're Christians-ish, and they're just kind of odd? And so this lady comes down, and she's kind of praying, but what she's saying is weird, and it's a little bit off, And I don't know, this is where I felt like I need to pray with these people. I need to tell them about God. I need to do something here. But there was just something about these people that came down and the way they were acting, and it just threw me off. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel, but it was like I couldn't present the gospel the way that I knew on the inside I should. And sometimes that happens to us. I wish I could tell you, man, I prayed and that kid's leg came back together and he jumped up and he gave his heart to God. But I failed in that moment. And I wish I wouldn't have. And I regret it. And that's where I love Paul, is Paul just says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Even if someone's being weird, even if someone's screaming out cuss words and cursing God, I'm not ashamed. And I say, God, help me. Help my posture to be unashamed. Help my posture to be ready at all times. The last verse we're going to share today, and then we're going to close it out. Having church at 9 o'clock is throwing me off. I don't know what time I'm supposed to end. I know the next service starts at 10:45, so we have almost an hour before I have to let you go. Just kidding. If you would look back up to verse 6. I like how Paul's identity is not in his accomplishments or in his past. His identity is who he belongs to. He says right from the beginning, I'm a servant, but not just of everybody. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I belong to somebody. He was a servant because he chose devotion. He was sent because he found purpose. He was set apart because he had standards and boundaries. He was eager because he was available, and he was unashamed because he was sold out for the gospel. But here's the thing. This message isn't about Paul. It's about you, and it's about me. in verse 6 says something impressive. It says, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You're called to belong. Now, throughout this series, when we get into other chapters of the book of Romans, we're going to have to look at the word called. We're going to look at the word chosen. We're going to look at the word predestined and try to understand what those mean in the context. And to kind of set the foundation for that, I want you to look at the word called, because what we're going to think is we're going to think only certain people are called. But the word called here means this. All it means is invited. All it means is invited. And what Paul is saying here is he says, hey, listen, all of you guys, everybody that I'm writing to, Jews and Greeks, everyone that's a follower, everyone that's not a follower, people that don't know Christ, you're called for something. You're called. And what we want is we want this invitation or this calling to be, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to own a business. I'm called to be a father or a mother. We want these titles. But listen, the calling, the invitation has nothing to do with your actions. It has nothing to do with your positions. The calling is to belong. All he wants is for you to belong. All he wants is for you to be a part of his family. Paul says, you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, anyone who is in Christ or belongs to Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you belong to Christ, you're not bound by your past. You're not bound by your culture. You're not bound by your sin. You're not bound by your failures. You're not bound by your desires. You're not bound by your addictions. You're not bound by your awards. You're not bound by your accomplishments. And I think it just hit me just now, this thought that I think sometimes when we look at, oh, someone can't be bound by accomplishments. You can absolutely be bound by accomplishments, because all of a sudden you feel this pressure that you always have to one up where you were before. I've always got to be better than I was before, and I've always got to accomplish more than I did before. You are never called to do that. Let me take some pressure off of you today. All he wants is that you belong. That you belong to Jesus Christ. I gave everybody a name tag today. And if I were to ask you to write your identity on that name tag, what would it be? What would it be? Would you identify today with your sickness? Or would you identify yourself as a servant? Would you identify yourself as sent or set apart or eager or unashamed? Won't you stand up with me this morning? I've got some folks on our prayer team. They're going to come down to the front. And what we want to do is we want to pray with you today about whatever's going on in your life. And we just want to ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. And listen, today maybe you don't belong to Christ. Maybe your identity is caught up in your sin. Your identity is caught up in your failure. Your identity is caught up in something else. And today you're saying, I want my identity to be in Christ. I want my identity to be one that belongs to Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, these guys want to pray with you about that. But also, if you're going through a struggle today, if you're having a health issue, or maybe you're going through a problem at home or at work, we want to pray with you about that too, because I believe the book of James says, if you got a problem or an issue, call the elders of the church and let them lay hands on you and pray for you. And today, we want to believe with you for whatever it is you're going through. But if you don't know Christ today, if you're not serving Him, these guys want to pray with you about that as well. I'm going to just pray over you this morning, and then as we sing one last song, would you just slip out of your seat if you need prayer? If someone's down here already praying, just give them a minute. Once they get done, you can find your spot with these folks. But let me pray over you real quick. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this room, and we just ask that you would speak to our hearts and speak into our lives. I pray that you would speak into our identities today. God, so many of us, our identities are tied up in so many other things. And today, God, we need some freedom. We need freedom from our past. We need freedom from our victories. God, we need freedom to just belong to Jesus Christ today. And so I pray that over this room in Jesus' name. Amen.